The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the roles of men and women in society really changed that much? Now, more than ever, men and women are competing in the workplace, in parenting, even in relationships. It doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with your host, Naftali Schwartz. Today, a lot of people are delaying or even foregoing marriage. And when there are disagreements, instead of communicating, it's just too easy to forget it all. Maybe that's why divorce rates are so high. When we discuss our roles and communicate with each other, great things can happen. Now, here is Naftali Schwartz.
I was tired of my lady. We'd been together too long. Like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personal columns, was this letter I read. If you like piña coladas and getting caught in the rain.
Well, hello everyone. We're back. This is Naftali Schwartz with another episode of It's Time to Go Back to Basics. Now, if you remember last time, for those of you who tuned in, I got a little confused with, I mentioned a song which I really liked. It was recorded way back in the 70s, and it was very famous then. It was known as the Pina Colada song. And now we did some research. So we found out it was composed by Rupert Holmes. And he, as far as I'm concerned, he did a very good job of sending a message across. And basically, I just want to discuss the first four verse that he, when he starts his song, it goes like this. I was tired of my lady. We've been together too long. Like a worn out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read a paper in bed. And in the personal columns, there was this letter I read. Okay, and so on and so forth. And basically, the message I'm getting from him is that he answered his ad in the paper, and he finds out after he they agree to meet, when he meet this particular woman, she says, ah, it's you. And, of course, that's his girlfriend. And so he said, I never knew that you like all these things that I like. So, you know, now, this gave me food for thought. So that would indicate to me that they apparently, this particular couple, did not take the time to get to know each other. They were living together, but they did not get to know each other. So that shows a lot of what is going on. Now, again, this was recorded back in 1979, in September of 1979. So we're going back 34 years ago, and 35 years ago, and the point is, a long time has elapsed since then, and still we see the same situation continues. So, therefore I chose, the title of my show for today is, how can couples learn to get to know each other better? Because obviously, all those years have elapsed, and we still have the same problem whereby more than 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Okay, so following that trend of thought, I'd like to share with our listeners. I met a very nice woman in one of the Toastmasters chapters that we go-to. I went with Laura LaMonaco. And this lady's name, her name is Giselle Johnson. And after I spoke, they asked me to be a guest speaker. And when I spoke about what I'm concerned about regarding the what I call the divorce epidemic that we're experiencing, Giselle came over and she said, you know, I really would like to talk on your radio show because I can relate to what you are saying. So first, I would like to introduce Giselle and let her tell us more about what she does, and then we'll take it from there. So here she is, Giselle.
Hello, I'm Giselle, and how wonderful to be here and share with all of you what I'm so very much passionate about. In terms of myself, I'm French-Canadian. I have been in the United States since 1993. I have been working with people, individuals and couples in a counseling setting for 13 years. And it is my passion and my joy to support people either in their fears of getting into relationships or their fears while they are there. And so here I am, willing to share with you what I love to do. And so we can begin.
Right. Okay. Okay, Giselle. So you know what? So I would like to hear really from you because, you know, you heard my perspective. Before we get more into details, basically, what would you say is your life work? I remember you said that you've mentioned to me that before people get divorced, you wish that you had a chance to talk to them because you said, you know, if they would come to me first, I believe that I perhaps could have prevented the couple from getting divorced. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, I always say, you know, give me a shot first, and then if you still want to go ahead and divorce or separate, then go ahead and do that. But my purpose and my reason for that is not to try to keep the couple together or advise them to take their separate ways. My goal with that is to help them understand where they are and get very clear about where they are and why they want to do what they want to do. Because most of the time, people are in such pain and anger that everything gets blurred and confused, and they just want out of the pain. And so my goal with couples, any couples, whether they are married or not, is to really, really support them in getting very, very clear about what they want and where they want to go from where they are. And so in counseling, we come to a lot of conclusions about, well, why did I want to be in this relationship in the first place? Couples really, through the, you know, the hustle and bustle of everyday demands, lose sight of why they came together in the first place. And so that's when I come in and we sit down in a very neutral, loving, compassionate environment and have heart-to-heart conversations about what's going on and what's possible, if anything at all.
There you go. That's exactly my point, you see, because I feel that so far what people are doing is they're doing exactly the opposite. Instead of learning to communicate with each other and say, you know, how can we make this relationship work, they would rather say, you know, as I always emphasize in going back to my mission, is that people would rather just throw in a towel and give up. Because it seems to be that, again, as I emphasize, that seems to be the style today. People, instead of working out their relationships and learn about the word commitment, the commitment is actually a good word, Giselle, I find that people are just doing anything by that. They want to run away from commitment, from responsibility. And does it make sense what I'm saying to you?
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, I hear often that, you know, our generation, people now don't have the same values. And I I don't agree with that fully. I believe that we have the same values that our parents did, or that we did initially when we entered this relationship, but we have lost sight of what those values are. We have lost sight of ourselves. We have lost sight of each other as a couple. And we have totally lost sight of understanding what our relationship's for in the first place. You see, people seem to believe that a relationship is there to make them happy. And I say relationships are there to make you grow. And so when we go, as you said earlier, when we go back to the beginning, back to basic, and why are we here in the first place? Let's go back to that. Let's talk about that all over again. And if the reasons why we began this relationship is not something that stood a chance in the first place, then maybe we can find other reasons that are of value and that has the strength and the foundation to keep a relationship healthy, wholesome, and happy, you see. And so there is always new possibilities, and it is usually never as bad as it looks once we understand. And the thing to understand is ourselves as individuals. And that's that way it really, really needs to begin. Where am I? You know, what makes me tick? What makes me do what I do, behave how I behave? And how can I take responsibility for the part that I play in this relationship? And so you are 100% correct in saying we need to go back to the beginning and revisit why we came together in the first place.
Exactly. Now, also, Giselle, I need to ask you now, your role is a counselor. And in your case, you emphasize that you're a spiritual coach. Could you give us a better idea what specifically that means compared to a so-called regular coach?
Oh, okay. So traditional counseling has not been effective for myself when I've looked into it and seen how it works. And so I started looking for alternatives and other ways of being with people that addresses both the human experience, what is going on at that level, and also to address at the soul level, at the spiritual level, at the metaphysical level, what is going on there. And so that way you're talking and addressing the whole person and not just a part of the person. And so people walk away feeling that that they have been looked at and heard on all fronts. And I have found it to be very, very effective. Yes. It's a way of really accelerating the healing process, accelerating the understanding. And of course, you know, people have to go from one counselor to another until they feel that things are shifting within themselves. If you are with someone and it's not happening, then that's your cue that you need to maybe find someone else. And don't give up after the first or second or third one. Just keep looking until you find someone that will absolutely get you to, or have you shift at every time, at every session. That should be happening.
You know, Giselle, really, I like the way you say that, because I definitely believe in that. In other words, that, a lot of people, like you said, they would simply give an excuse. Well, we went for counseling and we didn't connect with a therapist or the relationship coach, and so we just forget about it. And it's so easy to just give up, right?
Yes, because people don't feel very hopeful in the first place. So if it doesn't work right away, it's easy And you know, it's an easy thing to say, oh, forget it. It's just, there's just no way out of this. There's just no light at the end of the tunnel. So I'm here standing as the light.
That's exactly, I feel just like you, you know. So the question is this, what can we do, you know, since we're both in agreement here, what can we do to go forward? See, because I believe that when I met you, we definitely resonated on the same page because we both feel very strongly about the situation that we're in. That, like I said many times, I feel like we're going in a train on tracks, and the train tracks are heading over the cliff. And we have a responsibility, I said, as a society to say, no, we want our society back. It doesn't have to be this way.
Exactly. It can be different.
Right.
And so I want to really stand as that light, like I said earlier, and let people know it can be different, and give me one shot. If I can't show you in one session that it cannot be different, then I have failed you and I need to go back to school.
There you go. So, you know, so Giselle, on that note, we'll go to break and we'll come back. We will continue with Giselle.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Are you a single parent trying to create the balance between home life and work life? You may be running a successful business, but how are your relationships with your family and children? If you're one of the thousands of people trying to juggle it all, tune in to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris is the portrait of the success story. Coming to the U.S. with no language skills, founding and growing several businesses while raising his daughter from age 7 to adulthood as a single dad. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we're back, everyone, with my guest, Giselle Johnson. So, as we were saying, Giselle, you know, let me talk about a bit about when you work with singles and couples. What do people tell you about why they either want to get into a relationship or marriage to begin with?
That's a very good question. And it's a very good question because it affects every single person, including myself, when I married the first time. And so thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people tell me, well, I wanted to get into a relationship because I wanted to be happy. And so the underlying current of that, for example, means that it's saying I'm an unhappy person and I'm going to look to another person to make me happy. And what people don't understand is that it is not the other person's responsibility to make you happy. You see, it is imperative that every single person before entering marriage start looking at how happy am I a person and who am I to ask this other person to make me happy, right? And so find that happiness within yourself before you enter the relationship. Otherwise, you will continue to put that kind of pressure on your partner, on your mate, and they will feel it, and sooner or later, it will surface as a form of resentment. Another one is people feeling very needy. It is, again, imperative that that neediness be identified. And neediness comes in the way of, you know, I need someone to make me happy. It shows up in the way of, oh, well, I want to make sure, and I've heard this, I want to make sure that I have regular sex, you know. Well, what are the chances that a relationship based on that premise will survive or continue for very long at all? And I've heard men and women say, well, I couldn't get the person I truly loved, so I decided to marry this other person. Well, that's a very clear, obvious setup. It is based on lack of integrity towards oneself and the other, and not likely to survive. I'm not hearing the word love in there. A lot of people marry for security. They think marriage will give them a sense of security, whether financial, emotional. It will give me something. The other person's going to give to me, you see. So you see again that the premise for entering the relationship has no solid foundation to it. Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people will say, oh, I don't want to feel alone anymore. So they think that, oh, if I get into a relationship or marriage, then I am certain to never ever feel the pain of feeling alone ever again. And so, again, it's a very weak, you know, there's no foundation for the relationship there. And again, it is putting the pressure and the responsibility on the other person, you see.
Yeah.
A lot of people is, oh, it'll give me social status. Now I'm somebody because I'm married. It says a lot about me. It says I'm lovable because somebody is loving me, you see. There's the emotional support they want. There's the social status. There's, you know, all of these things, and I could add to this list that I hear very, very often when people are ready to go back to the beginning and say, okay, you know, I did marry for the wrong reasons. Now, a lot of people don't want to go to counseling because they're thinking, well, it's either going to talk me out of my marriage or it's going to talk me out of the idea of getting married, and I want to get married no matter what, you see. And that's not what counseling is about. Counseling is not about giving advice. It is about helping you set solid foundation for doing whatever it is that you want to do, whether it is marriage or any other thing. Get clear, and heal whatever issues you may have and not bring all of that to the marriage, and in that way stand a much, much, much better chance of the marriage surviving just about anything.
Now, okay, so that's the key, you see, because today, you see, it's anything but that. Would you say that people, not, you know, you mentioned before, if you're familiar with one of my gurus, quite a few of them anyway, Dr. Wayne Dyer, he talks about the shift, S-H-I-F-T, as in Tom, where he talks about people have to shift their whole mentality, their whole attitude. And can you relate to that, what I'm saying, Giselle?
Well, absolutely, because a person has to turn away from the other person, stop trying to reach out to the other person for what they need, and take another look at themselves. And say, okay, on the emotional scale, where am I? What do I have to offer? What is it that I expect of the other person? And whatever that is, I have to find a way to give it to myself, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the person has to really start the inner journey, really has to be very, very honest with oneself and take a very honest look. And that's often very painful because all these years we have repressed those painful feelings and those painful emotions, and now we're either going to go through the growing pain in a loving, compassionate setting like counseling, or go through a marriage and really, really go through a lot of unnecessary pain for both people involved and often children. And so there's a lot of preventive measures to that, and there's a lot of measures that we can take in order to help marriages last a lot longer or last forever, as it is often the everything, you know, that people fantasize about. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that every single person that has ever gotten married has really entered it in a very naive and in a very innocent way. And I say innocent because we are so unaware of what's underneath all of the facade, all of the faces that we present to other people. And everything is so repressed and oppressed. And we are in such a rush on a daily basis, we do not take the time to take a look at the feelings and that come up and nurture them and take care of them when they do come up. And so we do have to take a whole other way of looking at ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to do, but it is very much doable and very, very much rewarding. And a person would know when they're ready for a relationship when they no longer feel the need for it.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, yeah, exactly, Giselle. Now, you know, when you say, can we talk about this for a minute? When you say doable, that to me, that's very important right there, because it seems to me like a lot of people today, they don't believe it's doable. That they really believe that there's nothing to they have nothing to work with. Where does that come from?
Well, they look around them and say, well, look at my parents and, and look around you and the divorce rates and the statistics and all of that. And it's not encouraging. They're afraid to. They're afraid to fail. They're not trusting their judgment. And I say, you know, if you have been married before, I want to support you and encourage you to think in this way. You have been through the motion before. You have made the mistakes. You can identify those mistakes. Now, trust yourself to know that you have learned a lot and that your next decision will come from a place of experience and wisdom. And from that space of seeing that you have acquired the wisdom, then you are ready to see marriage in a whole different way and say, you know what? Now I know what works and I know what doesn't work. Now I can see that it is doable and it can happen and it can last forever. And now I can identify and know what my part is in it, in making that happen. And now I can trust myself in making a better decision, you see.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's so much counseling available everywhere. That, you know, there's really no excuse to not reach out and take that time to make sure that what you're doing is going to serve you and everybody else involved.
There you go. Okay. So before we go on break, so again, I want to summarize what Giselle's saying, that again, as far as Giselle is concerned and I'm concerned, people really have to make more effort. All our listeners, we believe that you have to spread the word that with effort, a lot of things can be done and things can change. With no effort, you know, I was raised with the very simple premise, where there's a will, there is a way. So if you think about it, no will, no way. So the first step is we all have to develop our will. Okay, and we'll be right back with our guest, Giselle Johnson.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Do you ever just ask why? If others, especially children, ask you the same question, how do you answer? Is life a whole bunch of questions just waiting for the right answer? When you tune in to the Mickey Ellison Show, you'll find out how to find the answers and open up so many more questions as you do. At what point in our lives did we stop answering the why questions and just settle for whatever answer we've been programmed to settle for? Never stop asking why. Join Mickey Ellison every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we are back, everyone, with my guest, Giselle Johnson. As I said before, at the beginning of the show, she's a spiritual coach, a spiritual science counselor, a prayer therapist, and an inspirational speaker. Very interesting guest I have today. Giselle, you're an interesting woman. So, moving right along, you know, I'd like to ask you, what do you feel is the biggest mistake that is common to most couples? I bet you a lot of listeners probably wondering the same thing.
Oh, my goodness. The most common problem to couples is their inability to communicate. You know, often we say what we say, and we understand what we're trying to say, but it doesn't come out that way to the next person. And so much of the frustration and arguments in with couples or probably most situations is where one person is saying one thing and the other is hearing a total other thing. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the book, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, where it talks exactly about that, how women hear one way and men hear a totally other way. And so, you know, to practice the art of communication is crucial. It's crucial, and it doesn't take that much effort at all. And it is a wonderful way to get to know your partner, to get to know the person that you really want to be heard by and understood. Because if one or both start feeling, well, he or she never gets what I'm trying to say, they start saying, well, there's really no point. I'll figure it out. And so the communication starts shutting down very slowly and gradually, but it starts shutting down. And then just more and more anxiety around that surfaces. And so the problems only get bigger. And so communication is a skill, but it doesn't take a lifetime to acquire. We're talking about a couple who genuinely wants to communicate, who genuinely wants their relationship to work. And in making that effort, it is saying, in essence, to each other, I really care about what you have to say, and I'll do whatever it takes to make sure that I hear you correctly. That's what love would do, you see. The blaming and the shaming is not the language of love. It is not the language of commitment. It is not how you will be heard, you see. And so there's a lot of frustration that can be spared, and a lot of hurt that can be spared, because I hear so much people saying, he never gets what I'm trying to say, or I just feel like I'm not heard, or I don't have a voice. And a lot of that is put on, oh, you know, he or she is dominant and this and that and the other thing. And oftentimes, well, sometimes it may be that, but oftentimes it's not that. Oftentimes it's like, oh, that's not what I thought you were saying. I was hearing a whole other different thing. And so if you're not hearing your partner, what you're going to deliver is not going to please him or her. Because you're going to be off.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're going to be sailing way off the path, you know.
It's true.
And so, you know, and it engenders, you know, bickering and dissatisfaction and discontent. And, you know, and these are, again, you know, painful feelings. And people feeling, you know, I don't know how to resolve this. And they wait and wait and wait to seek help. And the hurt just gets bigger and deeper. The light at the end of the tunnel gets dimmer and dimmer. Mm-hmm. And so,
By the way, Giselle, you know, saying that what you said, that's correct. I myself wonder, I talk about it with my wife many times. What, you know, it seems to today people's definition of love is way different than what it was years ago. What happened? What's been happening, you know, all these, the last 10, 20, 30 years?
What's been happening? We're just getting busier and busier. You know, getting busier and busier and really misunderstanding love and misunderstanding what love is, what it looks like, what it sounds like, and misunderstanding the purpose of relationships altogether, you know.
Let's talk about what would you say from your, you know, your experience as a counselor and dealing with couples. Really, what is the what should be really the purpose? I mean, I know what the purpose of a marriage is. My wife knows what the purpose of a marriage is. What really should people know in terms of that?
Well, let's put it this way. When two people really truly love each other, marriage is a wonderful thing.
Agreed.
And so let's take a look at love. Well, love is not demanding. Love does not yell. Love does not shout. Love does not blame. Love does not beat. Love does not insult. So whenever I hear that kind of conversations going between couples, what comes to mind is, where is the love? Where is the love? See, love is just there. Love is a way of being. It's not an emotion. And I agree with you, it is so, so misunderstood. People, generally speaking, they meet a person, the first attraction is the physical attraction. That's what, you know, gets them to pay attention to each other and bring them to a place of talking in the first place. And what happens is, right away, both people project onto each other, oh, I feel a certain way right now, and this feels like love. I'm so excited. I think I have found the one. I think he is the perfect match for me. What people don't realize is that what they're experiencing in that moment is the anticipation of that person meeting their needs. And the thought that that person would do that, is what has them feeling, oh, I'm in love, you see. And so to make that distinction is crucial. It's crucial.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so it's the anticipation that creates the emotion, and then they think, you know, this is love. Love is not an emotion. Love is not an emotion, and love is not asking you to fulfill my needs. Love is a way of being. That's how you be within yourself. That's how you be with yourself. And your mere presence is a loving presence. That presence alone can be healing for your partner or any other person around you. And it makes them want to be around you, you see.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Giselle, so therefore you emphasize, when we talk, we spoke before, that you really cannot love another person unless you learn to love yourself first.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then again, you know, we hear that a lot, and people don't really understand what that means in practice. People can say at the intellectual level, well, I like myself. Okay. But then when your inner chatter, when you pay attention to your inner conversations and you beat yourself up for not having done something or for having done something, where's the love right there? And how you treat yourself in that moment is an indication to you that that's how you're going to treat your partner when he does not live up to your expectations, you see. And so if you want to know if you are a loving person, take a look at how you're treating yourself. You know, I made a mistake. I have so many regrets. I wish I had not said that. And what I say to people, wonderful. This is not an opportunity for you to beat yourself up. This is an opportunity for you to take a look at how you are being with yourself in this situation right now. And can you love yourself in this moment? Can you love yourself in this moment? And most people are like, oh my goodness. Then they start to understand what loving yourself is about. When you really take it home to them with what they bring to the table and use what they bring to the table to exemplify, okay, this is how, you know, to beat yourself up is an unloving, you're going to war with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, if you were to take that situation and say, okay, if I were to treat myself better, if I were to treat myself with any level of compassion, if I were to be loving to myself in this very moment, what would I tell myself instead?
Exactly. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
What would that sound like? It might sound like, you know, you made a mistake there, and the mistake there was not to make you feel bad. The mistake was to give you the playground. It was to give you the context for you to see that you can grow in love with yourself right now. And I assure you that that is the only reason for those things to happen, is for us to have the opportunity to take a look and assess where we are with ourselves. And for no other reason. Nothing is for punishment. It is always in an effort for us to wake up to what's going on with ourselves. And when we do go there, when we do take that assessment and take that inventory, if you'd like, then we start doing what you mentioned earlier about Wayne Dyer and really changing your whole way of seeing yourself. And then your whole perspective on relationships and other people will change also. And you will have a whole new person to bring to a relationship. And confidence.
You're right, Giselle. We need to go on a break. So hold that thought, and we come back. We will continue with where you want, you'd like to say next. So we'll be right back.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Did you ever stop to think that financial health can be a lot like physical health? The financial physician, Luz Katigna, has helped people on the radio for nearly 15 years. And now he's part of the Voice America Business Channel. By using medical analogies to discuss financial solutions, Lou actually makes the process easier to understand and will help you chart your own financial fitness. Tune in to The Financial Physician live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, and on demand anytime on the Voice America Business Channel.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we're back with our guest, Giselle Johnson. Now, you know, Giselle, I want to emphasize to our audience, our listeners, that, of course, as far as I'm concerned, our future generations, the especially teenagers today, they are scared. They are looking at the future, and they say, what's going to happen when I grow up and it's time to get married? Statistically, chances are I'm going to end up in divorce. How can we give our younger generation hope for the future?
Well, you know, I'm a big believer that... Well, let's backtrack a little bit. You know, there are cultures who look to their elders with utmost respect because they know that their elders have lived. And from that living, they have acquired a lot of wisdom. And I see in our culture, we treat our elders like they are no longer useful to us. And I would really, really like our culture to think again and go to our elders and ask for their wisdom. And just basically say to them, you have lived. This is where I'm at. This is how I am feeling. What do you suggest? Those elders happen to be people who absolutely adore you, who want your highest best, and the people who will never lead you astray. And so why not begin by going to your elders, allow them to love you, allow them to serve you. And in doing that, you are giving them a brand new reason to want to continue to live and be around you and give them a true purpose. And that purpose to them is to serve you. And so,
Giselle, I agree with you. In fact, I suggest... What do you think about this idea? I think a lot of young teenagers should go and meet people, you know, older couples who have been married 50, 60 years, and talk to them and tell them, what is your secret of your long marriage? How did you survive all these years? You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to your parents, your grandparents, people you admire. I have asked myself a question to someone who had been married for like 30-some years. And I said, I had asked them, what is your secret? And they say communication. A lot of communication. And so, you might want to take communication skills classes, you know.
maybe we all should take communication skills, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just start paying attention, you know, start paying attention. How am I hearing other people? You know, am I really even listening? Am I even hearing the other person or am I somewhere else? You know, so that's a very, very good place to start because it tells you a lot about yourself. And it tells you that you care about the kind of relationship that you want to have now, whether it is with friends or family. It tells you about a lot about yourself, about what you aspire to. And that you really want to give it a fair shot.
So, you know, Giselle, excuse me for saying one thing. Yeah, I just realized what you know. So, apparently, our friend Laura LaMonaco was in the right direction. You see, she's been involved with Toastmaster for 8 years, and she even said herself to me quite a few times that she did not understand how crucial it is to learn to communicate with people, because people really just want to hear themselves talk. They don't want to hear, they don't want to hear the other person talk.
Exactly. And you know, we are also wired differently. Mm-hmm. That it's really imperative that we learn to hear in a different way, and to know to ask for clarification, to try to, you know, to prevent mishearing the other person and having the other person feeling unheard and all of that. But communication is absolutely a big, big, big one in all of the people that, the couples that I have interviewed, the couples that have, who have been together for many, many years and are still together and intend to remain together. They're, the one thing they would say was communication, more than sex, more than any other thing, was communication.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Giselle, so now, do you offer workshops? If people want to reach you, you know, how do they go about that?
People are welcome to email me at orey@usa.com, and I would be more than happy to answer your questions. I advise that you make your questions short and precise. If it is too broad, then I have to keep sending too many emails just to find out just what it is exactly that you're wanting to know. So make sure that your questions are precise, are as specific as possible, and I will be more than happy to respond.
Mm, and do you offer also workshops? So basically at this point, that's how you communicate with potential...
Sometimes I offer workshops. There is one that I'm working on right now that has not been offered to the public yet. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I offer workshops. My heart is really working one-on-one with people, and individuals and couples. I like to do presentations, but not very often. But if anybody would like to be notified when I do that, I would be more than happy to let them know when my next workshop will be, and invite them to attend and be my guests.
Okay, so now in closing, how would you like to summarize what we discussed today?
I'm saying, you know, be the best loving person that you know how to be. And if you would like to be more loving, then there really are wonderful books out there and wonderful counselors out there who can help you get to the underlying current of what's keeping you from feeling the joy within yourself. And so there is a lot more hope than what meets the eye. Do not look at everybody else around you to know what is possible for you. Because what is possible for you is what you hold in mind. You see,
and in other words, Giselle, stop. Don't be like the crowd. What I call monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Don't let anyone influence you in thinking of what's possible for you. You decide what's possible for you and move in that direction and do whatever it takes for that to happen. And if you are focused enough and you want it enough, you can have it.
There you go. And also, I want to say, Giselle, that I found our talk quite inspirational. Definitely, I understand now when we met in Toastmasters how you felt that you would like to be a guest on my show. You felt connected to my ideas. And now that we had this our conversation here, I can definitely see how we certainly share a lot of our beliefs. So, again, as I always say to our audience, to our listeners, I challenge each and every one of you to send us your ideas. Let's get together and say enough is enough. We want our society back. The traditional old values have stood the test of time for thousands of years, and it works. It works. The marriage institution works. I always say marriage is a good thing. And Giselle, do you like, that's basically what I say, Giselle, that's my message. Marriage is a good thing.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing for those who love each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So on that note, again, I want to thank you, thank our guest, Giselle Johnson. Thank you very much for being on my show today.
My pleasure.
Yes. And to our audience, won't you please have a good week. Think about everything we said today. and start looking at things in a positive way. So on this note, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on It's Time to Go Back to Basics.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. Please join host Naftali Schwartz for another edition of It's Time to Go Back to Basics. We'll be here Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a very good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.